This is April the 4th, 1961. This is Harry Hughes with a public interest statement. A member of Pioneer Igloo 4, Fairbanks, Alaska, we, the pioneers, have set up a tape recording program to preserve and perpetuate the true history of Alaska. And in these recordings, we have taken in the last year many, many recordings. In order to, for the public to get the greatest benefit from this worthwhile and necessary project to preserve our American way of life and our pledge to our new state, I myself have worked ceaselessly for a year at no monetary compensation, and I would like to let the public know some of the things that have been accomplished and some of the things we are trying to. This is April the 4th, 1961. This is Harry Hughes with a public interest statement. A member of Pioneer Igloo 4, Fairbanks, Alaska, we, the pioneers, have set up a tape recording program to preserve and perpetuate the true history of Alaska. And in these recordings, we have taken in the last year many, many recordings. In order to, for the public to get the greatest benefit from this worthwhile and necessary project to preserve our American way of life and our pledge to our new state, I myself have worked ceaselessly for a year at no monetary compensation, and I would like to let the public know some of the things that have been accomplished and some of the things we are trying to accomplish. We, the pioneers of Alaska, of the whole state, would like to set up historical museum and monument in each area eventually, so that all the people and the new people coming here can learn some of the things of the past as well as some of the things necessary to life in this area. The pioneers last year in May voted to attempt to acquire a permanent location in this area. We had many meetings of the committees and reports to the Igloo. And we, as members of the committee, analyzed every area of this Fairbanks area for a park and monument project with the sole thought in mind to give the people of Alaska the greatest benefit in regard to tourist interest, welfare of the state, and the welfare of the people. They don't have to be members of a pioneer organization to benefit by this project. In fact, it's not a closed project. Anyone living in this area for the 30 years and of good character is eligible to belong to the pioneer organization. We come up with the proposal that a piece of land located in the Fairbanks area here on Airport Road between Moore Road and Pega Road, which is 1,320 feet wide and a total amount of 72 and 6,400 acres, would be ideally located. Virgin land would be suitable for vegetation, wildlife, and the health of the people surrounding it. This project contains approximately 30 acres on one side of Airport Road and the balance of it between the river and Airport Road. The portion between the river and Airport Road, it is our proposal, be made into a museum and park project incorporating the history of all Alaska, the railroads, the boats, the mining, and the Eskimo, and the sourdough, and some early Dawson history, because a majority of the early day pioneers passed through Dawson or up the rivers to get into this interior area. We have applied to the U.S. government for acquisition of this land for the purpose for which a U.S. government reserve would normally be permitted by Congress, acts of Congress rather. We have followed out all the requirements of the Federal Land Office and wound up by applying for the land in the name of the state and retention of the authority and title in the name of the state for perpetual use of the pioneers and their heirs hereafter to create not only a source of information but a tourist attraction and a development attraction that will give the new people some insight into our way of life. And this project is located in an area that is a residential development area that would be an asset. The value of the residential area would be increased, possibly as much as 30% in value, in desirability. A park always is complementary to an area, a residential area. I hope this little comment will be of benefit and we'll be able to inform the general public more of our project. This is Harry Hughes, Igloo 4, Fairbanks, Alaska.
Fairbanks, Alaska. To the people of the Fairbanks area, this is Harry Hughes, Pioneer Park and Monument Committee. We would like to inform you a little more thoroughly of some of the things very important to all of us around here. Pioneer Park, proposed by the Pioneers of Alaska as a permanent state park and museum to preserve all the history of Alaska for the benefit of all the people, past, present, and future, at state and government level. Many meetings of this Pioneer Igloo 4 committee have considered almost every area around Fairbanks and then determined on the greatest good for the most people. We made application for this land, known as the U.S. Government Reserve, under the laws and rules of the government for withdrawal for uses for recreation and public good. This 72-acre piece is most suitable virgin land for wildlife, vegetation, and the health of people. Also will increase the desirability and value of residential area adjoining and yet undeveloped, as well as the homes now there. We, the pioneers, wish to press for dedication of this very necessary park and museum area and its commencement as fast as is possible to stop the loss of many of the historical objects that are now being lost forever. We wish you folks, the public, would express yourselves in the way you wish it, because the American way of life is the only way that we should understand things. If you will talk about this, write to your friends about it, talk to your legislators, talk to your elected officials, and I'm sure you will come up with a very good project for the benefit of Alaska and for permanency. The local conditions here and the local support is an impossibility, both financial and spiritually. So I hope this will clear a little of the misunderstanding that has been circulated around in regard to this project. This is Harry Hughes, Igloo 4, Pioneers of Alaska. This is my personal report and does not reflect on any member of the board of the Pioneers of Alaska. Thank you very much.
One, two, three, four, five. This is July the 9th, 1962 at Fairbanks, Alaska. And this little tape is a greeting from former Dawsonite, Mr. Bill Sherman, of Dawson, an early day bicycle rider. And in the house here is another famous character, Mr. Robert Sheldon, from the early days of Skagway in Alaska here. And I'll let Mr. Sheldon start this greeting off to the Dawson Yukon Order pioneers. Well, thank you very much, Harry. It's a pleasure to be here today and visit with my old friend Bill Sherman, who was well known in the early days in Dawson, who was born in Elkie Craig, Canada, way back in 1878, and who came to Dawson as a young man, was famous there as one of the bicycle racers of the day, later came to Fairbanks, where he has lived ever since. And Bill now is one of our senior retired pioneers, and Bill and I get a lot of pleasure out of sitting around the cabin and talking about the old days and enjoying reminiscing. And we're only sorry we can't be in Dawson today on this occasion to help celebrate Discovery Day, which we have both taken an active part in helping to celebrate at different times in the years gone by.
It's August 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Yes, August the 17th, 18th, and 19th.
At Dawson City.
At Dawson City, Yukon Territory.
Now, you let Bill say a word?
Now, let's have Bill
speak up your rights for you.
You better turn it off. This is W.R. Sherwin, formerly of Amherst West, Ontario. I was born in Elsie Craig, northwest of London, Ontario, August the 13th, 1878. I came to Dawson in 1898, where I arrived there June the 29th, 98, and stayed there until June the 20th, 1908, when I came to Fairbanks.
What did you do in Dawson, Bill?
Why, I used to work in the mines, both down in the hole, and I've hoisted in two or three places. And
you remember what mines those were?
Run boilers. Why, I worked for the Bear Creek Gold Dredging Company. That's known by another name. I just forget that name now. Canadian Klondike Mining Company. Mm-hmm. At the mouth of Bear Creek, I worked there 3 years drilling on the Keystone Drill. And I also worked for Charles Robinson over on Gold Run. And I worked for 14 Eldorado. I can't get a hold of that name right this minute now. Mm-hmm. I bought this house from him.
Mm-hmm.
Scouse, yeah. Z.A. Scouse. Mm-hmm. I worked for Z.A. Scouse, hoisting one part of one summer. And Teddy Heacock, well-known in Dawson, and I used to often ride down from the Forks to Dawson. Just, we weren't doing our best, but we were just feeling the trip out to see what we possibly might be able to make it. That was before I won the championship of Yukon Territory.
Bicycle.
Riding from Dawson to Grand Forks.
On a bicycle.
On a bicycle. And then I won a $50 silver cup the same day, riding from the Forks up to 36 above on Bonanza and returned to the Forks. The prize for the championship race was a $50 gold watch, an Elgin movement with nickel works, which is here in the house with me today, in running order.
Yeah, Mr. Sherwin has shown me this watch.
Oh?
I say you've shown me this watch.
Oh, yes, I've shown you, you've seen it. And also several medals that I've got here, and a couple cups, one cup extra that I had won in Staffordville, Ontario.
Mr. Sherwin will continue with his story about his early life in Dawson. You're coming down the river to Dawson.
Oh, yes. On my way down the river from Whitehorse, we come to the last bend in the Yukon River above Dawson, which I, if I remember right, was about 7 miles above Dawson. And as we rounded that curve, there looked to be a large white sheet spread all over the Dawson Flat. Well, we wondered what on earth that could be, until we got down to, I presume, a mile or a mile and a half before we tumbled what it was. And the tents were packed in so tight that the guy ropes of one tent went through between the guy ropes of the other, clear to the base of the next tent to it. And they were planted so thick, it just looked like one continuous white sheet. I'll never forget that. And then in that was the day I landed there. That was
what
the
day was that?
That was the 29th day of June, 1898. And 3 days, 29, 30, 31, there's one day, and then 3 days more. 4 days later would make it July the 3rd at night. Well, all of a sudden, out of the clear sky, somebody up on the hill back of Dawson fired off a gun, I presume a rifle. And they were good, solid shots. And in about another 10 or 12 or 15 seconds, off goes another one, then another one, then another one, then another one. Mm-hmm. And first thing, the dogs started to run up and down First Avenue. They'd run clear up to St. Mary's Hospital up against the bluff. And they couldn't go any further without jumping into the river. And then they turn around and come back. And the time they get back up past the Northwest Mounted Police Station, their tongues were, some of them, hanging out, I'll swear, 6 inches anyway, out of their mouth. And they're just walloping, just trying to gallop, but they no force to it. They were all in. And they'd swim out into the Klondike, which is small compared to the Yukon, and swim out a few feet until they got off of their feet, and then they'd turn around and come back, and then go back to St. Mary's Hospital. And I never had such a laugh in all my life as I did at that escapade.
Now, what caused the shooting? What caused the shooting? Was it 4th of July?
4th of July. And the next morning would be the 4th of July, and there's so many Americans, I dare say 10 or 15 Americans to one Canadian.
Mm-hmm. At that time?
At that time, because they all came from the coast. They got the word first. And they were on the way in here long before we began to hear about it back in Ontario. But after the winter was over, I decided I wanted to come north. And so on.
Well, now, Bill, what kind of a greeting would you like to say to the Yukon Order of Pioneers at Dawson?
I'd like to send my greetings to the Yukon Order of Pioneers, although I didn't belong to them, but I do belong to the Alaska Pioneers here in Fairbanks, and have a life membership. Yeah. I'll tell them it's called the Veterans Card.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes.
And you wish you could be to Dawson to see the celebration.
And I would awfully like to come up to the celebration myself, but I'm not in very good physical shape. But Frank Young, who I used to know in Dawson in the early days, he was a pretty young fellow then, he has offered to bring me up, but I'm pretty nearly at the guessing point whether I'll be able to stand the trip or not. I've had a very lame back on account of a bicycle accident I had riding home one night. I was riding along just normally, and first thing, bang, the front fork broke right at the bottom steering bearing in the head pipe. And I went on my head, and I was hitting about from 12 to 15 miles an hour at the time. And that buckled my back so bad that I figured every way, ever since, that I was sparked, my back was broke. And that was over 10 years and a half afterward, after I had the accident, before I began to feel better in the back. Now I'm beginning to feel as if I'm going to come out of it. I think my back, whatever it is coming out of it. Let's see.
You live, and you now live?
I live at 106 State Street on Lower First Avenue. Right across from the water plant, or diagonally across from the power plant, where I was working just before I got hurt. And
anyone coming to Fairbanks?
Anyone coming to Fairbanks, I would, from Dawson, the old Dawsonites, I would be very pleased to have them call on me at 106 State Street. That's on Lower First Avenue, right close to the Chena River. I don't know what else to say.
This is Bill Sherwin, and greetings to everyone. I'll terminate this right now. Okay, Bill?
Yes.
This is Harry Hughes recording for Igloo 4 and the Yukon Order Pioneers at Dawson. And I'm in the room of Mr. Billy Gilcher, another early-day stampeder in the Dawson area, who is up to Fairbanks on a trip. And he's going to tell a little additional highlights on Bicycle Bill's story.
What do you want me to tell now when I come to country, huh?
Yeah, first, your name is your full name.
I'm W.H. Gilcher.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 86 years old next month.
You're still young.
And I came to the country in 98. In fact, I landed in Skagway the day of the big snowslide at Sheep Camp. And they tried to get us to come over to Sheep Camp, or come over to Skagway and go up that way, but the party I was with was already at Sheep Camp. I came to the country with George Apple. He used to run a sheet metal works in Juneau, and he moved into Dawson in 97. I arrived in Dawson the 13th of June, 98. And I worked for Geis and Apple there. The shop then was on the corner of the alley in King Street. Afterwards moved over on 2nd Avenue. I worked for them till 1904. Then Apple and I came down to Fairbanks. We drove a pedal horse down from Dawson We were 30-some days on the road.
That's 430 miles now by auto road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we arrived in Fairbanks on the 13th of March, 1904. And I worked for Apple a while, then he and I had a disagreement, and I went up to Dawson and bought an outfit up there and moved down here. And I've been off and on around this country since 1904. I had a shop and business here, and I quit the day of Pearl Harbor. I was in the Iditarod Stampede, too, and I used to have a lot of fun with Bill Sherwin. I called him Marathon Bill. He had a boat, a side-wheeler, gas boat, and it would get in the wind, and he couldn't steer it. And I just was running around with him. And I had a lot of fun. I nicknamed him Marathon Bill, and I've called him that up to the present time. I haven't seen Bill this year, but I likely will. I've been in the country every year since 98. This is my 42nd year. No, not 42nd, 62nd. What's the matter?
62nd, right. The 62 years.
And I have an idea this will be my last trip because I'm getting so I don't get around too good anymore. And I just thought I'd come back and take a look this year. I sold my interest in Fairbanks last year, and I thought I'd be up this year, and I'm here. I'm a pioneer of this igloo here. Also a life member and life member in the Eagles. I'm one of the old Eagles here, 55 years.
You belong to Yukon or Seattle?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't belong to anything, only life here, Harry. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I'll get up to Dawson or not. I may take a trip up there earlier because I'm interested in the way the buildings that they've got there and they're advertising now that I worked on when I was a sheet metal mechanic for George Apple and Geis. That's the old Arizona Charlie, and the next was Murray Eads and Standard, and I could tell you a lot about Dawson.
You remember about Kaiser?
Do I know Kaiser?
Yeah.
Well, I should say I know Kaiser and his Dutch stories.
Mm-hmm.
He belonged to our union. We had a union there once, and I have some pictures of it in Sacramento, where I live now. And we used to meet once a week, and we had always had a little party, and they used Kaiser for the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody up there, I guess, that I know now. Bill Strathy was the last one, and he passed away a few years back. I was up in Dawson '46 to that excursion, and Bill was alive then yet, but since then he's...
Well, did you know Van Deber, the trapper?
Yeah.
Meat hunter trapper.
The big dog man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I knew the big dog man.
You didn't happen to know Jerusalem Joe Canatus?
No, I don't.
Syrian.
I don't
He died last year on June the 9th.
Well, I have an idea. There's very few 98ers in Dawson anymore.
Well, Teddy Watts is still there, and Mike Binney, an early day friend of Hydukovich. And then Katie McClellan's still there. It was Katie Kaiser when you were there.
Oh, it's Katie Kaiser, huh?
And she married a McClellan after that.
Well, Church Ward was in there, too. I don't know if you know Church Ward or not, Harry.
I don't know. No,
Oh, he had a shop over on 3rd Avenue in Dawson, and then he was out the creek a while.
There's a man by the name of Carbo, C-O-R-B-O. Do you know him?
I do.
Well, he's over there. He's alive. He's past 90.
Well, he was here
for
quite a while.
Wendell.
And he had a son, mm-hmm. and his son married Mrs. Pilgrim.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And Carbo was... He lived down here on Wendell Avenue.
Wendell
you know,
Avenue, yeah. Down
where
the
bridge...
Mm-hmm.
Or they bought for the bridge.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's living in Dawson now.
He is, huh?
Mm-hmm. He'll probably like to hear your voice, too. See, we got a story on tape from them while we were over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were around Nenana some early years there.
Yes, I was in Nenana from 1916 to 1923.
That was when it was coming to railroad headquarters?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I played Iditarod 1 year, and Ruby, I've been quite a bit of stampeder. Say, from then I moved back up to here, and I said when I got to here, I would never move again. Well, I didn't, only quit business and moved to California, taking it easy.
Well, now, what kind of greeting are you going to send to the Dolphin?
What?
What kind of greeting are you
going
to send to the Dolphin?
Well, I enjoyed myself while I was there, and as Bill was telling about the dog story, I can verify that. Because we had a bunch of hounds ourselves. We had five that we used to freight from the summit to Lake Bennett. And, of course, we brought them in, and when they were loose like the rest of the dogs, and they were running up and down the alley and fastest I ever seen them move before.
Well, that was quite a 4th of July they had been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the first 4th of July. Well, I think they had some kind of celebration the year before, but there was very few people there then.
Well, Billy, I want to thank you for this much on the tape, and I hope I'm able to be at Dawson to present it to him.
Well, thanks a lot, Harry. Mm-hmm. I'm living now at 1486 51st Street, Sacramento, California.
And that's Billy Gelcher, and this is the end of this little,
This is the end of this little interview.
Thanks, Billy. This is Frank Young, Jr., another 98er from Dawson, and he'll give his little story on this tape following Billy Gelcher and Bill Sherwin.
This is Frank P. Young, and I enjoyed listening to the early day stories of Billy Gelcher and Bill Sherwin that I knew in the Klondike when I was a young man. I come into the Klondike in the month of June, 98 with my mother and dad, and stayed in Dawson until about 1902. Then we went back to Whitehorse again, and we stayed there until about 1905, and then we left there and come on down to Fairbanks. And I resided in this part of Alaska ever since. I've taken in many stampedes around the country, Iditarod, Shoshana, Ruby, up in the Koyukuk, down Marshall, many places in Alaska. And when I was a young man in Dawson, this Bill Sherman, as you heard just before me on the tape here, he used to be a champion up there in the bicycle riding. He started me in a bicycle race for children up there on the old administration grounds, administration field there, they used to call it. That was about 50 starters, and Bill gave me such a good start, he shut me off quite a little ways in front of the rest of them that I won the race, and that was over 50 years ago. And say that I was one of the early day Dawsonites, went to school in Dawson. I go back to Dawson every Discovery Day, that is, I have for the last 10 or more years. Enjoyed meeting old-timers that I knew there and going back to my old camping grounds once more. Here in Fairbanks, I visit Bill Sherman occasionally and all other old-time Dawsonites that I knew when I was a young fellow up there. And here just yesterday, I had the pleasure of talking to Billy Gelcher, an old-timer in Dawson, and we did quite a little reminiscing of the early days, and we all enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank. July 11th, 1962,
And this is a final before tape recording. We had a funeral for another old timer by the name of Tom Shallow, a 72-year resident of Alaska. And I'm going to let Frank Young tell a little bit of what he knows about.
Well, I knew Tom Shallow in different places in Alaska in my travels. I first met Tom down in Iditarod over in Flat. And then I seen him again in Ruby. And I know he's one of the real old-timers in the country. He came into Alaska when he was a young man of 20 or 21 years old, and he lived to be 92. But today, the 11th day of July, 1962, he was number four pioneers of Alaska, said the last rites to Mr. Shallow, and there was a good turnout there. Quite a lot of the old-timers who knew him in the early days and other friends of his, and it was conducted in a very short and brief way, which the pioneers do, and he had a nice burial. So, Harry, I'll turn this over to you.
Yeah, in the room here is...
He
says he can't talk. His name is known as Bill Sinaticus. Sinaticus, and he's coming in Alaska around 1917 or 1919. And he's been a famous mining camp cook around this area for several years. I've known Billy and played cards with him a lot of times.
Yeah.
Now, Billy, you tell me what you heard about Tom.
No, you just tell him.
Everything you say is going on.
No, I didn't want to say nothing.
I want you to hear yourself.
No.
Now, you just told me you knew Tom a long time.
Well, I know he has a horses, and he's been to Iditarod and Flat, and he's been in Ophir and different parts of the country. I meet Tom and 4th July cake between Flat and Sakatna.
Did you ever work with him?
No, I don't work with him, but I know he drink a little bit milk, 110 proof.
110 proof milk, huh?
Milk, yeah, and he liked the girl plenty.
He did?
Yeah.
Did he gamble a little bit too?
A little bit.
Yeah. He run a dog team?
No, they have horses.
Drive horses, huh?
Yeah. That's all.
Okay, this is how he uses the recording for you, so, and I'm going to let him hear what they said on here.
You thought I was... Next year I come to work in there. The fellow says, hey, let's go and kiss sushi. Have something to eat. And I said, what's my son? Then I see the colored old girl there. And she said, good meal, my golly, poor darling I have. I said, that's all you charge. He says, that's all. But she's telling me, with you, see, I don't drink. And the fellow goes in, and a couple of things, he starts to wipe you, and then that's up.
Mm-hmm.
She's still alive, I guess.
Yeah, she's still alive. She's an old lady now.
Yeah. She's only in flux now with this old child's hair. Some Irishman, I forget his name, is in the people up. He's got his pussy.
Well, say, tell Frank when you come in town here during the war, when you was broke and you started the Arctic Hotel.
Yeah, I come here. I have very little money. I don't have nothing. Month anything, and I go to Nordell Hotel on day that night, and the boy told me going to give me a room, and then he said no rooms here, put you down the basement. I said okay. Then I come by 12 o'clock. I go down the basement. Somebody else is here in my bed. Some old timer. I know him. I like the heck out of him. And I come upstairs and keep making. He has the Arctic Hotel. And I talking to him, he said, well, he said, I got the hotel here, you want to take it? I said, I take it, I never know nothing about hotels. I can lose nothing. So I said to him, how much rent you? And I said, I don't know. He said, you tell me. And he said, $200 a month. And I said, okay, I take it. I give me 2 years sleep. And I take the hotel and everything is there, everything is here. And I hire a couple of girls to clean up a little bit. The next day I rent a full house. And I pay $200 rent, I buy 2 tons of coal, and I collect close to $500 rent in the first week. Oh, I make about $10, $15. Then I buy some other property and
well, the bed you slept on in the Nordale, I put those cots down there for old timers.
Yeah, I don't
Mr.
know.
Mr. Nordale let me do that.
You know, there is this other fella who have a cafe after that. What do you call it?
Cochran?
Cochran? I think so.
Ray Cochran.
Yeah. And I come down there and I to get in the bed and some fella from Metro. You know what Metro is? This type of of McGrath. Sleeping in the bed and I said, oh, let him stay. Oh, I just got sticky. I made some money, you know. I had a full house.
Well, how many nights did we play cards over there when you first got that?
Oh, a lot of nights.
Every night we had a card game. Nobody was ahead when they got through.
Well, two people came steady.
Yeah, but it was honest game.
Well, the crooked game don't last that long, buddy. Yeah, still the mechanics be writing it.
Oh, yeah, some of the boys still write.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, during the war, when there was such a shortage of rooms here, I worked nights in the hotel, and I used to call the different hotels around town and say, how many vacants you got?
Yeah.
Well, then the people come in after I went on shift, I could send them over because the hotel was full.
Yeah, I know it.
I sent them to the Lacey and to the Pioneer and your place, and anybody that had rooms, I'd call up and find out.
Yeah, it's been a good time those days. Those days by now. The only thing got to do in Alaska now is got to help. The Daniel Bear tries to get the gold and the people go out.
Well, another thing that happened after you left the hotel and you bought the property where you are now, Billy, you used to go out and work at a place called the Rendezvous.
Yeah, you've been coming there a lot of times. I made a little money there, but I spent it fully.
Between you and the slot machines, Frank Cruiser did pretty good.
Yeah, I worked for this. For nothing. Well, that's where it goes. All the people make money, but they money.
Well, Billy, how you say you're 78 years old?
78.
What date now?
The 3rd of May.
Uh-huh. What town was you born in Greece?
I was born in Macedonia, in Greece.
Macedonia?
Yeah.
You got some family over there yet?
No.
No relation?
I got brothers.
Brothers?
No.
What are they in?
Well, it's a little town called Volos, on the Mediterranean Sea.
On the Mediterranean. Is that in the Iron Curtain country too?
No. No, I got red.
You're outside the Iron Curtain?
Yeah, because that's only the Russians don't like the Greece because it's very rough.
Well, that's the only country that they aren't in over there, then.
No, it's not there. It's Turkey, Greece, around there, whole Mediterranean. You see, and the Russian is the Black Sea, and the Bulgarian, and the Albanian, and Romanian.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the Romanian, and then come Bulgarian, and then Albanian, and then it's Greece, and then this side comes to Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any desire to ever go back home for a trip?
Well, I like to go for a trip, but not to stay. You know, I don't know nobody. What I say hello, goodbye.
Well, you should go back now.
Huh?
You should go now if you can go.
If I go, yeah, now is before I die, but you see, I tried to sell this, some of my property. Paul Grimmon, you want to? He asked me one day, and I told him, I said, I want so much. He asked me how much money I want down. I said, I don't want too much down, but I got to have some protection. Not $2,000, I thought, a month or anything. And boy, he asked me again, I said, okay. You know, he gonna take it if I live like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul, if he got the money, it's a nice property for him because joint mine. So he got more place and he got that one station.
And you're gonna hear what you said, Billy.
What?
That was a little visit of Billy Sinatus and Frank Young here at my home, Harry Hughes, at 215 6 Fairbanks, Alaska, on July the 11th, 1962. at the end of this